All right, there we go. 1, 2, 3. Welcome to Black Hat 2017 with Security Guy TV and SecurityGuyRadio.com. What's your name, sir?
Brian Nesmith.
And what's the name of your company?
Arctic Wolf Networks.
I like the name. It intrigues me. Tell me what you guys do.
So, in a nutshell, basically, we help mid-sized companies understand what's going on inside their environment and where things aren't working the way they're supposed to.
Okay. On what level?
So, the big challenge is that there's a lot of interesting data that's flowing around in a company, so a lot of log data, as we like to say, from your security systems or your network systems.
Yes.
And we collect that data, and in the middle of all that, we'll find the things that are problems in that environment. So maybe you've got a hacker running loose, maybe you've got something misconfigured, and you've got other challenges in that environment. We call it Security Operations Center as a Service.
Now, that's interesting. I'm going to tell you a funny story. So back in the day, I worked at Fox. This is in the 90s, and they had internal IT, right?
Right.
And I would get these capers where people are, you know, looking at porn inside a broadcast center. Big no-no. Oops, I pushed the wrong button. We got, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I would go to the IT guys and say, I need to see your logs. Oh, we don't keep our logs on. What do you mean you don't keep them on? Aren't they on by default? Yeah. Well, it's Windows 4. They're on by default. Why don't you, Windows NT.
Yeah.
Why don't you turn them on? It takes up too much time. We don't like to look at them. Right? And there's so much data involved in that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad there's a company like you, but frankly, I'd be surprised if there's a company like you, because I would think, why aren't people doing that? So this is very fascinating to me, that people aren't collecting it, looking at it, crunching it, you know.
I don't think it happens as much they're not collecting anymore, as they just don't know what to do with it.
They don't know what to do with it, okay.
Yeah, they're lost in the, you know, all right. The challenge that they've got, and what he highlighted as his problem, is that logs are really noisy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're at a football stadium and 1,000 screaming fans, and somewhere in there there's a crying baby, but you want to find the, you know, you can't find it, but it's all the screaming fans that are going on in that environment. And that's inherently the big problem with logs, and that's really a lot of the value that we bring to the table, is getting that signal out of the noise of all that log data.
So analytics involved in this, where you're kind of crunching and saying, here's an anomaly in your log, this never showed up in your log before, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, a big human element, a lot of machine intelligence, and really a combination of those two things tied together.
So if you're operating as a SOC, the Security Operations Center.
Yes.
How do you detect internal fraud? So according to the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, about 68% of fraud is internal. What kind of tools do you use to detect internal fraud? So for example, if someone does not have access to a particular application but has started to view information, you know, highly confidential information, for example, on an M&A transaction.
Right. So a lot of it is, believe it or not, hackers in general, and people doing bad things, they leave footprints. So, but they're buried in the sand, so finding them, depending on what systems you collect log data from, so there are various internal systems, they'll give you indications. The big challenge is most people just don't look.
And do you cover everything, the entire enterprise infrastructure network?
Yeah, we will
network?
For customers. So we'll pick up any type of security system they might have. We'll pick up Windows systems, network systems. You don't know where the footprints lie. That's
right.
Part of the challenge. So if you don't look at everything, then it's where you didn't look that ultimately you run into the problem that you've got running, you know, in that environment.
Now, do you crunch this stuff in real time? Not real time, but you know what I mean? It's
near real time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
constantly churning.
That's exactly right.
Interesting.
Now, some of the challenges, some of the footprints don't show up till later.
Sure.
So you have to combine one set of data with another set of data to get something out of it, and it can be a challenge. So there is a near real time aspect, but there's also a constant kind of going back through things and understanding what took place.
Now, to Dorothy's point, are you finding in some of your customers' data, is it more internal than external problems?
A mix of both.
Okay. All right. The reason I say
depends on the environment.
I'm from the physical world, security, right?
Right.
And it's always internal theft that's above outside theft in the physical security world. Or it's somebody inside screwing around with their, you know, 85% of all laptops stolen are employees.
Yeah,
right?
I would say it's generally, majority of it is bad behavior internally.
Okay.
Like I think overly sensitized to the fact of a hacker in my network. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Are they doing it? But it's the disgruntled employee. Actually, I wouldn't even say disgruntled. It's just the lackadaisical employee.
Or the dumb
that tends to cause most of the issues.
Opens it up for somebody else to exploit it.
Hey, I have a USB stick. Let's plug it in, see what it's got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to what extent do you aggregate that data and then share patterns with industry associations? So, for example, if there's another company that's doing complementary work, do you sit down with them and look at patterns that will then increase your capabilities and product?
So a lot of it's as you like find anomalies or you find issues that come up, and then you see it at one customer, and it's the first time you've seen something like that, you'll will do things to, one, feed it back into the general forum. So there's various threat environments and threat forums and threat exchanges that you can put data into. So we pull data from that, but we also give data back to that environment. So it's not just for us, but an industry thing that we're all, in the end, trying to fight all this bad behavior and what's going on in that environment. So yeah, absolutely, we do participate in that activity.
Excellent. Yes, thank you. So in addition to that, could you speak about your client base? And also, is it U.S. versus global? And what types of trends are you seeing in terms of medium-sized businesses that need your services?
So our customer base is what we would call mid-sized businesses. I think some people call them small, but we'd say like 200 to 2,000 employees.
Yeah.
And the challenge for a company like that is getting the security expertise, which is a really critical aspect of doing a SOC. It's hard for them to get and retain those types of people. And so our focus is in that area. They have all the challenges of big enterprise, none of the budget. So that's really the challenge for them.
That's an interesting concept, because there's about a million person shortage of qualified IT people.
Right.
And they're not going to go to the small company to work. They're going to go to the giant company to make more money. And that leaves the mid-sized small companies even more lacking. They're not getting any slice of the pie.
Right.
So they got to outsource. It makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a specialized skill set.
Yeah.
I mean, challenge for even a mid-sized company, they could hire somebody and get them, they go on vacation, and all of a sudden it all stops.
Exactly.
So that's really, it also remains the, even, not just the macro problem of overall shortage of engineers, but even inside the company, I need a range of expertise that is going to be hard for me to get and retain.
Now, does Arctic Wolf play nice with other software network that's doing similar, not similar, maybe they're, you know, you're protecting and looking at logs, and some guys analyzing emails, and you know there's a lot of software on the network now to protect the company.
Yeah, we're playing nice in the sandbox. I think that they're putting it. We're not messing up what anybody else is doing. So if you have vulnerability scanning running, if you're doing your own work, we'll see that taking place,
yeah.
And that's actually an indicator of sometimes a bad behavior. So when you see somebody scanning a network, they're like,
oh yeah.
So
that's
it could be. For good purposes, but also could be an internal employee doing something. We saw it, just something happened like a week ago where somebody was scanning and they did it by mistake. So they literally had turned on a program and were blasting the entire network. And it took them an hour to track down the person that had just turned on this scanning program and say, just please turn this off. You're triggering all sorts of activity all over our infrastructure.
Right. Now, do you guys work with these? We've interviewed several companies that use, for lack of a better term, an interface that gives you a dashboard, so all six of the software programs were used to protect the network can be seen in one place, yours included, right? It kind of comes into one space. You call that a GUI? Do they still use that term?
They do.
Yeah. I mean, you allow that kind of thing to help, you know, make it easier for the CISO to see everything in a view.
Yeah, we do. We have a portal, but I'd say that in general, these things are annoying. People ignore them.
Okay.
So that's the problem. So what we bet on is that we're going to find anything that's a real issue, and we're going to tell you. So
that's a better way to do it.
And then what we're going to do is be confident that we're not going to report things to you that are what are called false positives.
Right.
So I'm not going to send you noise. I'm not going to be the you know little boy that cried wolf and create you and make you immune to me telling you bad things are going on. That's actually almost all the breaches you look back historically. The footprints were there. They had the signal.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody was raising their hand saying this was a problem. Yeah. The problem was is that there were 500 other people raising their hand saying that was a problem, and those other 499 weren't real.
Right, that's a very good point. How do you then qualify risk weight those risks? And then back to my question about global, are you seeing more demand from companies outside the U.S. to use these services you provide?
Well, our focus is North America, but I don't think this is a U.S. problem or a North American problem. And, you know, I think that the challenges you see in the different environments are the same. It doesn't matter the language or the culture. The internet is definitely a universal phenomenon. So I don't think you see any difference by geography or any challenges in that environment. What you are seeing is I'd say the threat surface is growing. So you're seeing IoT.
We've heard that.
Talking televisions. Like, this, you have to imagine the idea that it's now trivial for somebody. You sit in a room with a video conferencing system. They can listen to what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and
right.
You don't know it.
Absolutely.
Yep. You know,
they can tap in, right?
It kind of scares me, and I live in the industry. So.
Well, speaking of that, what keeps you up at night? What do you worry most about?
I think that as a society, we have a huge trade-off between privacy and security.
Good point.
And I just don't know if we're going to get it right. You know, we see it in government. We'll see it in business. We're going to see it as a world. And I sometimes worry that the extremes are going to dictate the answer, where people that are privacy advocates are going to say, I don't want anything, and then the people that are security advocates, I want to see everything. And, you know, and I don't know what that leads to for us, is, you know, whether it's a business or a society. And so that always still, you know, is, I think, a big issue.
Very insightful. Brian, ArcticWolf.com. Thanks for coming on SecurityGuyTV.com at Black Hat 2017. Next show's up in a couple of minutes. Stand by.
Thank you.
Thanks
a lot. Great interview. Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
We're going to answer the question about how did they choose the name?